From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The number two movie last weekend had all the ingredients of a popular comedy: debauchery, lifelong buddies, and gratuitous flatulence. This is a Judd Apatow flick, this time, though, starring all women. It's called Bridesmaids. And while audiences may have thought this was going to be blue humor coated with a layer of pink nail polish, it stands wonderfully on its own high heels. The screenplay came from Kristen Wiig and writing partner Annie Mumolo. Wiig plays the overwhelmed maid of honor. Maya Rudolph plays the bride. And she joined me along with Bridesmaids director Paul Feig. I wanted to know what Rudolph first thought of that script.
Boy, when I read it, you know, I know Kristen's voice so well, and I love her writing, and I love her take on things. And she and Annie just wrote this really funny script that just had these great fleshed-out characters. And
did you see yourself in it when you first read it? I mean, did you know?
In every part. I was terribly excited about it. I was like, I want to be in this movie.
Well, it was a real no-brainer for us to have Maya in this because, you know, we knew the whole movie hinged on the friendship between Kristen and Maya's characters. And so, you know, you can obviously cast, you know, there's some great actresses, obviously, who can summon that up. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that there was just that familiarity and that friendship between them that you don't need to write to, because there's nothing worse than like a lot of turgid dialogue of like, oh, Annie, I've known you for 20 years.
Yeah, we didn't get a lot of that in the toast, nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's, we like to pull it out when it's like really inappropriate. But, you know, so that kind of the chemistry that they have, because they are friends from SNL and they've known each other, just comes through so easily. And so that's why that first scene of the diner with them worked so well. That was just like 4 or 5 hours of improv.
You're a total catch, and any guy would be psyched to be your man. You should just make room for somebody who's nice to you. And
you know what? He's honest. He told me that we are what we are, and we're just having fun, and I like
that. He also told you need dental work.
We had a bit of a roadmap in the script, but then was like throwing in talk about sex, talk about guys, talk about, you know, and they would just go and crack us up the whole time.
It's funny, when I watched that scene, I wondered if that was largely improvised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it for a long time in rehearsal, and we really wanted to establish that this is a bit of a ritual, that these women get together and without explaining it ad nauseum, that they're really there for each other, and that and just to get a little bit of a slice of life of what these interesting dialogues might be. But, you know, what I love about it is you really see what it's like when two good friends get together. You do a lot of laughing. You know, you talk about the stuff and the stuff that's driving you crazy and the guys or your job or whatever it is. But at some point, you just end up laughing and being stupid. And that's a sign of a good friendship.
Well, that was so exciting about in this, because it's just so alive. And it feels so not like these movies can sometimes feel, because I think they get very overwritten, and you lose that spontaneity that happens in real life with people. And I think that's what people are connecting with in the film.
I have to ask you about one scene in particular in this film. It's an unforgettable scene. It's an incredibly gross scene. It is also incredibly funny. I don't want to give too much away, but it involves food poisoning, and at that point, all digestive hell breaks loose.
That is accurate.
You look lost.
Megan, are you okay?
My dress was probably just tight.
Oh my god. You got food poisoning from that restaurant, didn't you?
No, I had the same thing that she had, and I feel fine.
Okay.
Oh no.
Why is this happening?
Nothing's happening. Oh my god. You know, I don't really care which dress we get. It doesn't matter to me. I just need to get off this white carpet.
No, okay. God. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, for us, here's the thing. And you know, that we've obviously got taken both heat and kudos for that scene. But it's easy to look at that scene and just say, oh, it's just, you know, okay, so people are throwing up and going to the bathroom. But that's really not what it's about. The whole genesis of that scene was, you know, Judd and I don't like to ever put anything in a movie that's just kind of there for laughs. It all has to be in service of the story. And we had this part of the story where we had to show, look, Annie's – one of Annie's problems is she never admits when she's wrong. Mm-hmm. She won't back down. You know, and she screwed up because she took people to a cheap restaurant because she couldn't afford it and tried to pass it off like it was cool.
Right.
And the comedy of it is twofold. One is that in the face of undeniable evidence, she is – refusing to admit that she screwed up. And so for us, the comedy was like, okay, how extreme can we make the evidence that she is pretending is not happening? And the other is just the comedy of women in a situation that is bad trying to pretend that nothing is wrong.
People have not stopped asking me about it. The most interesting question about it is just, when you read that, did you think, oh, no? And I thought, like, I've done a lot in my day. I'm not shy. There's that satisfying moment watching the movie with an audience when everything finally erupts into a very visual display of being sick. And you hear the audience, I've heard it twice now, go, oh, it's right. It's almost weirdly satisfying.
Overall, in the film, was there something more at stake here, something larger, an effort to prove that women could successfully do blue comedy, that women could open wide on thousands of screens and draw hordes of men to theaters, to prove that women could reign supreme in a world and with a sort of genre of comedy that is so typically associated with guys?
I really felt that way because just personally, I feel the comedies I've watched, I don't see a ton of comedies, I have to admit, in the theaters. But the ones I see, I always feel like, even though I like them, I feel like women get relegated to kind of crappy roles a lot of times. I get really bummed out when it's, you know, oh, they're the girlfriend who's a drag, or it's the, you know, any movie, like, you know, like a big action movie, like your guy's off trying to save the world. The woman's like, you are not spending enough time with the family. It's like, oh, she'd rather him be at home than save the world. Boo her.
It was a different experience for me in that I really do come from a place where funny is funny, and I don't think about my lady parts very often when making comedy. And I think one of the most fun things about being gross or something like that is it's the funnest way to get another comedian to laugh. It's like the place you have to go. You have to go wrong to make a comedian laugh. But I was surprised when we started getting the reactions we were getting, because what I felt about this movie was that it's just so funny and it's so good and there are so many great people in it that I was actually really excited for people to see it because I loved it. And this, you know, this was a combination of people that have known each other for many years. I think Kristen and Annie really knew of great people. You know, they had the knowledge that they could have this great group, and so I think they came from a place of, all right, how do we make this as funny as possible? I didn't see them setting out to change anything, but that's probably for the better.
It's been great to have you. Maya Rudolph plays Lillian in the film Bridesmaids, and Paul Feig is the director. Best wishes to both of you.
And to you too.
And to you. Go your way.